The culture of your home is the incubator of character.
You are the only mother that your child has. You're the only father that your child has. You're the only person who can be you in their life, and you have a lot to offer.
Isn't the goal of parenting not that we have these 42-year-olds who are still coming home on time and cleaning their rooms, but that they actually leave and we have hardwired them for the virtues that we want to see in them?
The thing we all have in common is that we are interested in our kids' future. I know the Parent Network exists to help moms and dads in whatever way you can, when you can, and how you can help moms and dads help their children have the future that God's promised them.
Hello, and you're listening to the Parent Network Podcast, and this is episode 30. I'm Marcy.
And I'm Sass.
And we're so glad you're here listening to us now, aren't we? I'm really not doing great with intros.
Hey, Marcy, that actually was like super smooth at the beginning.
Really? It was?
I think it was.
Okay.
Like, until you got to the point where you weren't sure what to say next.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Story of my life.
No. Not story of your parenting, right? You know, like, you always know what to do next in your parenting.
Yeah, that's a, that, sure. Yeah. Okay. Do you know Chris and Ivy did, when she was here, she said, you can't anticipate what you don't anticipate.
That's true.
And I had to repeat that phrase over and over again because I kept thinking, what? Like, obviously. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? But when you really think about it, it makes total sense.
That's true. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. You don't know what you're going to say until you have it figured out. All right. So on today's episode, we are having, we've had the chance to interview Troy Peverell, who is with Agape Counseling. What is the full
name?
It's
Agape Counseling Associates.
Agape Counseling Associates.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's been on our podcast before, but today he's talking about redemptive parenting because he just did two seminars here at our Wilmington campus.
And Marcy, you have to tell everybody kind of where this idea for doing this redemptive parenting came from.
Okay, sure. So we had
short story.
Tom Shevchunas came in January. And he had parents in discussion time take the position of their parent who botched a conversation with them when they were kids. Basically, kid had to bring something to their parents that was hard to share, had to be really honest, and you were supposed to discuss how your parent responded, whether good or bad, and then role play kind of how you would have responded, how you'd prefer to respond, basically. And it was very obvious in that room and then the weeks following that we have a lot of parents, and myself included, who carry a lot of that weight. Like, we remember that conversation probably a little too well.
Mm-hmm.
And more conversations came from that. Like, we've talked about you and I so often. I saw myself standing there and saying exactly what my mom would have said, and I didn't like it.
Which at some point in life I have said I'm not gonna do way they did it. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, sure.
And
we've
some things for the better. I'm glad I do some things that my mom did, but some not others.
Yeah, sure.
So Troy came in to talk to us about how to kind of let that go, how to move on, how to be redeemed. Yeah. In that, how to redeem that story of your childhood or how your parents responded to things and step forward in good health, basically.
Yeah, because the reality is we are going to live our lives today and in the future in some way, shape, or form from our past.
Right.
And so how do we take things from our past that may or may not have been, you know, the best, or may or may not have pushed us in a good direction, and redeem them or allow God to redeem them in such a way where specifically we parent in a good and healthy way. And so, you know, you kind of brought that to us and said, hey, this came out of the chef stuff. Can we talk about this? We knew Troy was the guy. We sat down and talked to him, and he's all over it. So
It's been good. It has been so good. So I'm really excited that we have this interview to share with you guys. So if you weren't able to make it to the seminar, you'll get to hear a lot of it here.
Yeah. And one of the things we'll try to do as well is to get just maybe some notes from Troy's seminar, and we can post it kind of on pc3parents.org. And our resources, so that if you want to kind of see a little bit more in some of the scripture and some of the specific things that Troy said, it's there. So enjoy this interview with our good friend, Troy Peverell. Well, I'm here with a longtime friend of PC3, Troy Peverell. Troy is of Agape Counseling Associates here in the Wilmington area. And Troy, for folks who didn't have a chance to meet you before, just tell everybody a little bit about who you are.
Well, first of all, I am a father of four and grandfather of five, married for 32 years, and also a counselor and a adjunct professor and supervisor for different counselors throughout the state of Carolina.
So you're busy.
I am doing all kinds of things. I told the group recently that I met with here Sunday that I have done so much. I think I'm still trying to find out what I'm going to do when I get older, when I grow up. So,
well, if you have listened to our podcast in the past, if you're a regular, you will know that Troy was so good the first time we brought him that we had to break it up into two different episodes. So you can go back and listen to episode 21 and 22 if you find yourself wanting more of Troy. But Troy, you've recently been doing a seminar for us called Redemptive Parenting. So what we wanted to do today is just let everybody kind of, if you people weren't able to come to the seminar, just know a little bit of what it was about, or even if people came and wanted more, just kind of give us a quick overview of, you know, how we stepped into that conversation and what the seminar is about.
Well, you know, so much of the parenting, I think, can get to be frustrating for parents and those believers in Christ, those that are even seeking to find out who God is. And the frustration comes from just, you know, constantly doing your best, but finding yourself stuck in certain patterns. And through some of the work that I do, I see that the patterns that parents get stuck in are directly related to their own past as, you know, a child or some experience they had, pain that they went through. And I think good intentionally, people, you know, use the words, well, I've let go of the past and I've forgiven everyone in the past, which I think sometimes is definitely true. But come to find out a lot of times what it is that parents are still struggling with the same patterns. And I think that while forgiveness may have been granted, the process of pain has not been purged from who they are. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, they'll stay in that frustration and being stuck pattern because the behaviors that they adapted to or learned or were affected by continue to kind of lead their own parenting, and they can't even see that.
Yeah, so for the most part, do you find that people don't recognize these patterns that they're in?
I think a lot of time it's recognized from the level of you know, I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't be like my parents, and here I am just like them. Yeah. So you hear things like that. But I think parenting out of your pain also can be an agreement you make not to be like your parents. And you go to the extreme other end or in that direction. For instance, if you were, you know, abused as a child, you had a parent or both that were, you know, aggressive, and you hurt under that pain, and you made a commitment to yourself when you became a parent that you were not going to do what they did. And so as a result, you tend to lack the discipline giving to your kids, or are very afraid of doing that. And some of that is a little bit of my story, which I share just a tad in the seminar.
Okay. So what are some of the main points that you share in the seminar for people to kind of be able to redeem their past and get into some good redemptive parenting?
The first thing I try to talk about or explain is just what is redemption, and that meaning, you know, to literally put up a ransom for, rescue someone, make a purchase to buy back something that was lost or stolen. And so I'll just identify that to be, you know, the salvation process that believers, you know, originally go through, mm-hmm. just saying, you know, God, come into my life and, you know, forgive me for my sins, make me a changed person. And I believe it starts with that. But I don't think that the process of parenting from that continues, because I think that's part of the sanctification process.
Okay. Talk more about that.
Well, so I think learning that in a way we kind of continue that fleshly man and the way that we live our life here, even as believers, is kind of the frustration that just takes the power out of parenting. And so the whole seminar is wrapped around how do you gain a sense of victory so that you parent from the true redemptive state that you really are, a new creation in Christ. And so to identify what does non-redemptive parenting look like, and the tendencies that go with that. And I think one of the things that stands out about non-redemptive parenting is parenting out of fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because redemption, you know, should be to us, hey, there is no fear.
Yeah.
And so people have to look at, you know, first of all, identify, are they parenting out of non-redemptive parenting? And then, you know, next is to kind of look at, well, what is redemptive parenting, and look at what does redemption mean? And then how do you get into that state in a growing process so that you're parenting truly? And I think it comes to this place where we tend to look at forgiveness and know that you know, while God has forgiven us, we just try to move on. And I think we should move on, but sometimes I think we get stuck. And I think part of that is because God wants to do the whole full process of redemption, which is sin and love is held in his hands for a purpose, so that we see there is no shame, that he truly looks at our sin and our patterns and loves us fully with that in sight. And so if we can't do that either, then we're not practicing the kind of love that he has for us. He sees our sin. He knows our sin. He knows our past. And he can look at it and totally see us as a new creation. Mm. And so we have to be able to feel the same way. If we were to do that, we would not be parenting out of fear of repeating a pattern.
Yeah, and what I hear you saying is that it's not a quick fix if you're going to really step into redemptive parenting.
Yeah.
It's not something that happens quickly. And it's really more of a personal journey for you. I think a lot of things that I read, and a lot of times that I even probably am guilty of talking to parents about parenting, it's more about sort of going towards the kid.
Yes.
And what I hear you saying is, wait a minute, this is really about you and your heart.
Right.
And kind of doing some, let God do some work there.
Yes. There's such a good verse that I think kind of serves as a theme for kind of the process. It's out of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. It says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. And I look at the deep water, you know, it's dark. You can't see it. And yet, if you stay in there and you really, you know, as you walk with God in a prayerful, purposeful way, intentionally looking back, saying, God, reveal to me, show me the motives and the movement of my life in parenting. What is this in behind me? And I think that from that process, in God's timing and gentleness, he begins to reveal where we're coming from.
Do you find that most people are reluctant to go down this path?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody. I don't think anyone wants to. I think I probably think about this stuff more just kind of what I do because of what I do. But I think in my own life, even just the process of that, I remember where it started for me. And I did not bring this up in the seminar. Hopefully I'll remember to do that. But I was about 22, and my sister actually helped me, you know, through just saying she felt so bad for me and something that I went through. And I looked at her and I was like, what are you talking about? And that would be probably what we would call denial or detachment from a pain. And so as I really began to think about what she was saying, I saw, wow, you know, and I had not seen yet. And I think a lot of times the reason we don't really see the pain of our past, you know, is because as a child, we're so resilient for survival's sake, and we're still developing, that we can't handle the pain of something that can be life-changing during that time. And so we'll see it come back around when we're, you know, young adults, middle-aged adults, or in parenting stages with our own kids. And I think that's the goodness of God, is that the timing that he does it is just better than a man trying to make that happen for someone else.
Yeah. Do you find that there's any other things that happen in non-redemptive parenting, kind of other than the fear? Because you said that's kind of the big one. But what else does non-redemptive parenting look like?
I think parenting out of just the shame, you know, not being able to address, you know, I think sin nature and just our own sin obviously causes consequences to us. But I think we're also recipients to the sinful nature of other people. And I think our culture also has a sinful effect And so pain or shame or, you know, fear, you know, it's wrapped up in so many different ways. But I think the shame that people feel a lot of times is, for instance, let's say you were sexually active as a teenager or prior to marriage or prior to your, you know, beliefs as to what God's word teaches. So from that, you're ashamed of that. And it's not something you want to share with your children out of, you know, just feeling guilty of over it. But at some point and at good timing, there really needs to be where you don't feel ashamed of that anymore. It's not like you're saying that was okay, but you're free from the shame of it. I think sometimes I look at Paul and what he said, that, you know, he rejoiced in his weaknesses. How did he do that? Mm. And I don't know that he was directly pointing at sin patterns, but I think he was pointing at the struggle of humanity in his own life. And so if we only feel shame from that, then I think we're not experiencing a redemptive place that God wants us to experience, because we truly are free in Christ to do so.
Yeah. Okay, so give us some more kind of pieces of what redemptive parenting looks like, or maybe the process through which we need to go to get there.
Well, first thing, I do, you know, a transition to really try to make the point that I think a intentional place of going back into the deep waters and drawing out insight is to make it a careful and a prayerful process. And that may look differently for individuals, but should be bathed and should be guided by your walk with God to do this. And sometimes it may be that you do it with someone else. Mm-hmm. Again, I go to, you know, part of healing that I think takes place for believers that I don't know that we do really well at this in church life, is that we are to confess our sins to one another so that we will be healed.
Yeah.
I don't want to confess to people. I'd rather keep it quiet.
Sure, and most people come to church thinking they need to wear the mask and need to you know, kind of put up the perfect front of their family or whatever. So,
yeah. So I think to go through, you know, a careful, prayerful process to begin that is first and foremost to do. And then I also just, you know, believe there's a foundation that that has to be established when it comes to the order of parenting, meaning, you know, to really examine, you know, do we parent out of our own belief system, or do we parent from a belief system? And, you know, I think this goes to the foundation of, you know, God created the whole idea of parenting. And so, in a sense, he wrote the rule book. I didn't.
Yep.
And to come to that specifically, not just in acknowledgement of that generally, but into the specifics. What does God think about, you know, A? What does God think about B, C, D, whatever, you know? And that, do I follow that? Do I seek that? Do I know what that looks like? So that I have a foundation to begin to say that, hey, this goes back to, what does God think? What does God say? That gives us a real tool to know, hey, we're not alone here. We don't have to have the manual that we wrote.
Yeah.
We just have to follow, you know, what's been given to
us. And we don't have to create the manual based on, you know, all kinds of things that we can grab on. I mean, again, I'm, you know, super guilty of that in helping to lead the parent network, because how can we get this tool and how can we use that thing to help and encourage parents?
Yeah.
And you're right. God's the one who knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And we should go back to him for what he wants out of this.
That's right. And I am, like you, I mean, I'm a parent of four and made many mistakes. And by the grace of God and the goodness of God in my wife and in me, you know, we didn't raise perfect kids, but we raised kids that love God. And that, to me, is like, man, that's so
important. That's the win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, anything else that you would want to share with anybody who kind of wants to hear a little bit more about redemptive parenting?
Yeah, I think kind of the goal of going back in order to go forward in the present is really to kind of to go back and remove the fear, shame, and pain and get to a place to where if others were involved in that pain process, to move to forgiveness, but to move from forgiveness to actually love, to loving people that even hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very difficult.
Hard to do. Yeah.
It is. But I think it's the complete process of exactly what Jesus did, that his actions on the cross of love was from the very process of what was happening, which was forgiveness. So God, Christ not only forgave us, but he demonstrated that through an action of love.
Mm.
And so that is where I think, you know, we need to go back and begin, how in the world do I love those that hurt me? And while that's difficult, it's so neat and so good to see that it really sets a person free to then begin to parent from a place where there's not fear.
Mm-hmm.
And not shame. And you can even look back and not have all of that pain.
Yeah. So what have you seen has happened kind of in a positive way for parents who have gone through this process and who now begin to parent in a redemptive way? Like, how does it change their parenting? How does it change what their kids experience? And how does it change their family dynamic?
You know, I think the demeanor in which a parent, I think, goes through this process and then goes back or continues on in the growth process of our sanctification, there's a sense of freedom, sense of joy, and not being bound anymore, and not being afraid, not raising your kids out of fear.
Pressure's kind of off.
Yeah.
In some ways, right?
Yeah.
And I can imagine for the child to experience a household where there's not fear, and they're not bound anymore, can have a tremendous impact.
Yeah. I think if parents also can, you know that while you're 13 and under, you know, you can do this work. But even if you don't and you start the work when your teenagers get when your kids get to be teens, I think that there's a goodness in being able to process this and even have such an authentic relationship with your kid to say to the child, I'm not the best parent, I messed up, and to have those I'm sorries in your family, that frees children up who don't always have the understanding that they're not at fault unless you tell them that you were the one at fault.
Yeah. And in some cases, I would imagine you not only have to tell them, you have to convince them.
Yes, right? Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I have seen a lot of parents who something's happened and the kids feel like the divorce was my fault or this thing was my fault. And as much as you tell the kid that,
yes,
they still have a hard time believing that. So you got to convince them and keep reminding them.
That's good. A lot of times I see young people actually processing better than even adults do. And that's really encouraging. I don't think that's the norm. But sometimes I'll see a mature teenager sees the big picture and can really see, hey, I know that I'm not at fault here. However, they also feel the pain of perhaps the absence of a parent.
Yeah.
You know, simply because they long to have that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say to a parent, maybe someone who, you know, this idea of, hey, I'd love to parent out of redemptive, you know, do some redemptive parenting, but they couldn't come to the seminar. They're just sort of hearing some of this for the first time, and they're knowing there's something there they need to deal with, but they're not sure what to do. What would you recommend for someone? I know you've already mentioned kind of processing it with somebody possibly, but anything else you'd say to someone who thinks, oh, I need to step into this.
Right. You know, there's a book that I read years ago and my wife read, and it's called Raising Kids Out of Your Pain. And it talks about the codependent relationship and pain that you go through as a child, and in that dependency that sometimes is built from adult to a child. And I think that book is a good resource to really help identify some of the chains that get yoked to us as children, and it'll at least get the wheels turning.
That's good. And one of the things we're going to do, if you're okay with it, we're going to take your notes from the seminar, we're going to post them online for people to kind of go back and look at and see some of the questions that you've asked, some of the scriptures that you're tying to it, and we can link that book.
Sure.
We'll find it there.
Yes.
Okay, Troy, thank you very
much.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So such great stuff from our friend Troy. And Marcy, I know you got a chance to be a part of the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just real quick, anything that kind of came from the seminar for you and Adam that really kind of meant a lot to you?
You know, one thing that I had never seen, I had never looked at it this way, really, that he brings it from this perspective of, if you are parenting with the goal of not doing what your parents did, and then he even took it to another level of not creating or raising your child to turn out like, which was something I hadn't considered. I think I do that more than worried about my parents. I actively aim to make sure that my child's not going to turn out like this person or that, you know, or like, you know, you want them to be productive members of society. But the biggest thing that I walked away with was, when I am doing that, I am parenting out of fear. And it's almost, it pushes the pushes what you think God's limits are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's good.
And that was a really eye-opening conversation.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we hope you really enjoyed that from Troy. And again, we'll put some notes on our website at pc3parents.org, where if you want to kind of look at some more specific things that Troy said, if you could make it to the seminar. So, Marcy, anything we need to let people know about coming up in the Parent Network, especially if you're a mom?
Yes. Mother-Son Madness is May 17th. You can register now. It is $25 per family, so you can have three sons, one son, $25. But it's going to be a great night. We're dividing it up between age groups, so fun for all ages.
Can you describe what madness means?
Madness. So we're kind of going off this mindset of mad scientists. So there will be some slime. There will be some jumping.
I'm thinking Nickelodeon, like right off the bat. For
I actually
those that can remember.
I will put in a request through the check request system we have here for a slime machine specifically.
You want to buy a slime machine?
I think it's been ignored because I turned it in like a year ago.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna invest in a slime machine here, apparently.
Yeah, I don't think we want.
Or like a
slime
big
machine.
Dunking tank full of slime.
So thanks for listening to the Parent Network podcast. And if you're a mom, we hope you can come to Mother-Son Madness. That, again, is Friday, May 17th.
It's May 17th.
Super fun, and we're excited
may
about that.
May or may not involve slime.
Slime. Who knows? thanks for listening. We'll look forward to talking to you next time.